Hello, Internet, and welcome to the new and improved Engadget podcast. I am your host, Terrence O'Brien. Joining me this week, over on the far left, Nathan Ingram, senior editor.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening.
Whenever you happen to be listening to this.
Yeah.
Next to him, Sherilyn Lowe, reviews editor.
Good day.
Oh.
And to my right, Devendra Hardwar, senior editor.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining me. So this is a relatively early morning for us. We had a little bit of a fire drill first this morning.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Which was a lot of fun. But we are now here in the studio, and it is time to get right to the fun. We are starting off with Flame Wars. For those who don't know how this works, Nathan, Devendra, you guys are going to debate four of the biggest stories from the week. You will have exactly 20 seconds to make your opening statements. I'll allow you a brief rebuttal. After that, Sherilyn will declare a winner, and we will move on. If you go over your allotted time, this 20 seconds is a hard cap. I will greet you with one of these. Okay. So, yeah.
Save yourself the embarrassment.
Be economical with your words is what I would say. So let's start off with everybody's favorite topic, iPhone rumors, because that's a thing that literally never ends.
We are in Engadget.
Yeah, well, I mean, from the moment an iPhone is announced, the next one is already getting rumored.
They're usually talking about the next one even before that.
Yes. Yes. Like right now, there are rumors for next year as well.
So, oh, yeah. Great.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Great. This is... Why did we choose this industry again?
It's great.
We love the rumor mill.
Always, always changing. Yeah.
So the rumors are that the iPhone 7 will have no headphone jack, like the...
Moto Z.
Moto Z.
Yeah.
God.
There's too many.
Yeah, there's too many phones. And they're going to redesign the home button. So, Nate, I want you to tell me why this is a good thing.
All right. Are we starting?
Yeah, you're good.
Yep. I don't think taking away the headphone jack is a good idea. I can't defend that. But a haptic home button, I think that's one less moving part to break.
That's it.
Oh,
wow.
Boom.
Okay. I'm just going to ride out the 20 seconds now and stare at you awkwardly.
Hmm. I think I made my point.
I'm just going to stare at Nate and like build up my rage.
Okay. I'll skip the buzzer and we can go. Right to you, Devendra.
Well, yeah. So I'm glad you agree. Losing the headphone jack doesn't save us anything, really. That's a really dumb decision. But the home button, yeah, it's another button to break. I don't like the way the haptic feedback buttons feel on the new MacBook. So I kind of prefer the feel of a real button.
You guys are both coming in way.
You guys are so boring.
No.
You're boring.
Your face is boring. It's too early in the morning.
Put a Snapchat filter on it.
We'll get to that later. Nate, do you have any rebuttals here?
I mean, have you used a MacBook with the haptic trackpad? Yep. I get used to it in like a day. It's not a big deal. And I feel like every year I read about how, my friggin' home button's breaking. Like, it's the thing that I think breaks the most. So if they can avoid that, like, a lot less repairs on Apple's end. Seems like a smart business decision.
I want to hear both your, especially yours, Nate's, on the headphone thing, because you never really talked about it.
All right. I think it's an incredibly dumb idea. I can't defend it. There's just no reason to take it away. Yeah.
It is the single most supported port for the longest amount of
statistic.
Time for decades. I mean, I don't even think of statistics. I'm just thinking of like reality, right? It's supported across so many devices, so many things. The fact that we were losing that for no real reason is really stupid.
If there was a good, if they could give us articulate a reason to get rid of it besides making it thinner, like,
and maybe Apple will, we'll see. But right now, it sounds like it may make room for a second speaker on the iPhone, which could be cool. I don't know.
So the disagreement between you two is not over the headphone jack; it's just about the home button.
Yep.
I'm sure there'll be more once we hear about this thing, because they did announce, they didn't announce, but there's a rumor for the announcement date of September 7th. Yep. So
we'll know much more very soon.
Yeah. All right, Sherilyn.
In the meantime, Nate's the winner.
Oh!
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Devendra, try other phones with the capacitive home button sometime. It's really
I have.
It's a good thing.
It's not. Try double clicking, triple clicking on something like that.
Oh, you shouldn't have to triple click.
Also, that's a horrible bad UI.
Yep.
Yeah, give me.
Woo! iPhone has that. It's there for
Steve Jobs
things.
Would never have let that happen.
By the way, we are keeping score, and whoever has the most wins at the end of this will get something.
Okay. Right. Rights for a week.
I did not hear about this.
Yeah, well, you'll get a pat on the back from me, and maybe the commenters will say something nice about you.
Unlikely.
No,
unlikely.
That's never going to happen.
Not right, even just going to make an effort. Okay.
All right. So next up, the Chromebook 13 from HP. This is sort of a premium Chromebook device, I guess a competitor to the Pixel in a certain way.
That's a fair assessment.
So, Nate, is this actually a worthwhile device? Should people go out and buy it?
At $819, which is the price I reviewed it at, no. But they also have one that starts at $500. I haven't tested it yet, but everything I can tell is that it'll still be a really capable machine. Great keyboard, great screen, not so great battery life. But if you're into Chromebooks and want one that doesn't suck, it's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing it anyway.
Do it. How many seconds?
Terrence just really likes to do that.
I really just like
you had about 3 seconds left.
I know. Right. See, you guys were worried about this 20-second time limit.
Yeah.
You're coming in under it. It doesn't take that long to make it.
I like 30 seconds.
Well, you get a little bit of time afterwards.
I would ramble too much in 30 seconds.
All right, Devendra, why is this a device that nobody should purchase?
I don't hate Chromebooks. I like the lower-end ones, but more expensive Chromebooks. I don't get it. Like, even at $500, you can get a tablet and a good keyboard and have access to a whole bunch of apps and a more functional machine. There are plenty of Windows computers around $500. Run Chrome and real apps, you know, it's a better deal.
I'm not passing up an opportunity to use it. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, do you have any rebuttal there, Nate?
My rebuttal is that most $500 Windows laptops are hot garbage.
That's not true.
What can you say that's not hot garbage?
Even the Surface 3, which is like not the Surface Pro, that one starts at $499.
Runs you have full to Windows 10?
It runs full Windows 10. You do have to add a little more for the keyboard but yeah. That's the thing. But there are other like cheaper, lower-end laptops. Windows 10 works really well on low-end hardware. Right. So.
You also said that there's no real apps on Chromebook, but there are because they're going to support Android apps soon.
Yeah, soon? When? We've been hearing that for years.
No,
sure.
It's actually legit happening.
I've tried it. I've tested it.
It's cool, but even then, like an Android app on a desktop, I've used that before on Windows 2 with BlueStacks. It's a cool thing. It's not as useful as like having something actually integrated into the OS.
I'll just say that you should give it a shot because it really did make me change my opinion of Chromebooks.
Okay.
They're going to be a lot more useful once that rolls out.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sherlyn, who's the winner?
Ugh. I like Chromebooks, that's the thing. But I don't think I want to spend $500 on one. So Devendra.
Oh, yeah. All right.
You got it.
Tied up.
Man. All right, so it's 1-1. Mm-hmm. This
I'm very fair, you guys.
Yeah.
Very fair.
Impartial. All right, so let's move on to probably the biggest story of the week, at least, you know, in general, not just in the world of tech. But the Olympics.
Oh, yes.
So this year, the Olympics kind of went all in on the digital thing. There's all sorts of ways to watch it, weird stuff, which I'll let Devendra talk about in a minute. But they also have a very weird restriction in that you're not allowed to make GIFs or GIFs.
GIFs.
I don't care how you pronounce it. GIFs, GIFs, GIFs.
We are not having this discussion.
I'm gonna go and just steal... Mike Rugnetta's Jifes, and just go with that. Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Devendra, why are these the most exciting and digital Olympics ever?
I mean, there have been some issues, but I like the fact that there are so many apps out there. Every TV provider is giving access to the Olympics on their apps. There are even things like Sling TV, which is what I'm using, that gives you, if you're subscribing to the sports channel, you get pretty much every Olympics event. So much more access than before. That's a good thing.
Once again,
right
under the wire.
I know. I'm going to have to get somebody who rambles a bit more on the show.
I've done too much radio. That's it.
All right. Nate.
Yeah.
How have the Olympics dropped the ball when it comes to digital distribution?
The apps, in my experience, have just not been very good. Like, I was trying to watch an event, and it kept on starting from the beginning. I had no idea if it was live. It said it was live, but it definitely didn't feel like it was live because I kept seeing the same thing over and over again. That was a really bad first impression. And also, no GIFs is just a terrible decision. Get with the now.
Woo! Right under.
Oh.
You're welcome.
I don't know. Now that I have to make my decision, it's always difficult for me. For someone like me who doesn't have... who's never seen the Olympics, who's not really big on the hype, but wants to maybe like catch some clips here and
there. Wait, hang on. I need to interrupt this whole thing.
Uh-oh.
Just for one. You've never
seen the Olympics. That's a thing.
Look, I can understand you're not like huge on it. You don't watch it necessarily, but literally have never walked through a room when it happened to be on.
You mean this year or you mean
just in general?
My dad used to make me watch some of it on TV.
Okay.
Some of the swimming ones. Yeah. I know. I don't get the big fuss. But
I didn't really care until a couple of years ago, to be honest. But yeah. It's a good
the
time.
World Cup. Now that's exciting. But anyway.
This is like the World Cup for every sport. Sorry.
But there's too many. So let's go back to
Too many sports.
Y'all, it's okay. It's too early.
The problem with the Olympics.
We should debate about golf.
Being back in the Olympics. Is it back in the Olympics?
Yeah, for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, we're getting really off track. Right. But golf is not a sport. I'm just going to leave it there.
Does the app, is it free to access for everyone?
No, so most of the apps, if you actually want to use them, you have to be a cable subscriber. So you have to log in with your cable account. If you don't have cable, you can watch on NBC over the air, but it's usually only at prime time, and it's like an edited, condensed version. Mm-hmm. And it seems like all they do is show, like, they show volleyball, they show gymnastics, they show swimming and a couple other things, but it's definitely only getting a small portion of the experience.
So access doesn't appear to be, like, super widespread right now, right? Sling TV, you said, and do you have to pay for that?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so the winner's Nate.
All right, 2-1. It seems like the lack of free and easy access is kind of the deciding factor.
Also, GIFs.
And the GIFs.
And the GIFs is a problem.
The GIFs are a problem.
Graphical interface format.
I would say the only argument in favor of the Olympics banning GIFs is like these people are like working their butts off and competing really hard, and then they get turned into a meme, and it's a little unfortunate, I think, if you're like an athlete who is like really working for it, and then they got to show your like grimace on the podium. That's kind of a crappy way to be remembered.
Yeah, but you've decided to compete in something and show yourself like on a world stage. Mm-hmm. You accept that the possibility that you will be a meme is like.
So, Terrence, and if one day you are a meme.
That's fine.
It's going to happen.
You're on this podcast.
Make a meme of me. Do it. Go
turn him
right
into
ahead.
A Muppet.
That's I do whatever the, you want. I no shame. No, I have a complete lack of self-respect.
I know you prep for tech conferences just like Michael Phelps. Like, yeah. Doing the full-on Anakin. Like, come on.
Right.
All right. So let's talk. Let's talk about our last topic for the week, which is No Man's Sky.
Ooh.
One of the most hyped games, I'd say, in recent memory. For those of you out there who have not played it or weirdly don't know what it is, it's basically a survival sandbox game in space.
Start out on a planet. You can go into space.
Yeah.
Visit other planets.
So Devendra, tell me why people need to buy this and why it does, in fact, like, why does it deserve this hype? Does it live up to the hype?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played it yet. I'm still waiting on my PC copy, the delays. But this is a large-scale game that does more than most big titles from a small indie team. I think that is something I'd like to support. And the idea of it, the grandeur of it, looks amazing.
All right. Nate?
Yeah.
Why should people skip this?
I think that unless you have, like, untold amount of hours to devote to this game, it's going to be hard to get a really good experience out of it based on that scale. Like, I just don't know how someone can drop in there and play it casually and get a good experience. That said, again, I haven't played it yet, and there is something really impressive about what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, again, under the limit. Now, I want to ask a question here before we decide who the winner is, because I think we kind of skipped over what makes the game so impressive. Like, what there is an underlying thing here that's the reason everybody got so hyped up about it.
I mean, it's a universe that's growing. Like, it's a universe of itself. They said, what, some quintillion amount of planets?
I think it's over 18 quintillion.
Over 18 quintillion. Mm-hmm. And this is just, like, it's procedurally generated stuff. So it's, like, planets and stuff that when you go there, the game creates something. But what you do kind of impacts the greater world, too. So people can end up visiting a planet that you've named and see the species you've named and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
I mean, and you've got to admit, Nate, that that's pretty impressive, at least from a technical point
of view. Yeah, it absolutely is, and especially given the small team. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see a AAA or a small indie developer turn in a title that's gotten this much hype and is that impressive in scale. I have a hard time really hating on it, to be honest. It looks beautiful, but just as someone who doesn't have as much time as I'd like to play video games, I'm not sure how I'm going to really get to feel like I'm impacting this universe unless I'm going to sink, you know, hundreds of hours into it. Some people can do that. I feel like a lot of people can't. They may be missing part of an audience by not making it a little more accessible.
Devendra, how much time do you spend playing games in general?
It depends. Like, it comes in waves, like, as new games come out. But yeah, if I'm not busy reviewing things for Engadget and doing other work, I'd like to spend, like, at least 5 or 6 hours a week.
You think
that's not that much.
That'll give you a good experience with No Man's Sky.
I mean, yeah. It's sort of like this game that you can keep playing for a while, hop in and out whenever you need to. Seems like there's a lot of grinding involved, but I take a casual approach to a lot of this. I've been playing The Witcher 3 for, like, how long since it came out? I'm still playing it, so it's like, yeah.
I mean, I think The Avengers got a very convincing argument. And as a non-gamer, this even speaks to me because I'm a science fiction freak. But like, So I really want to go explore this world even as a non-gamer.
Yeah,
so.
It's pretty much the encapsulation of like every sci-fi fan's dream to be able to explore these
kinds of worlds. They can make it so you can drop in and out like that, play for a few hours, you know, leave it for a few weeks, come back and still not feel like you're sort of lost or you know, not getting the full experience, then it'll be a win.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just see if that actually happens.
So the winner?
Devendra.
Right. That means that we end with a tie. It is 2-2, and that means that nobody wins.
Fight to the death.
Yes.
Fight to the death.
I think we should keep an ongoing tally.
That's true.
I think we can do that. I think we should
update the standings every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's actually a really good idea.
Leaderboards.
We're going to have a leaderboard. That's going to be a thing. Oh, get excited.
Brainstorming is happening. You're welcome.
So yeah, so that's I think that's pretty much covers most of the big stories of the week. I think now it's kind of time to turn our attention to you, Sherlyn.
Hi.
for a little segment we are calling Open Sourced, because we have to name things. We need a catchy name. We need, you know, these little bits. So this is where we're going to talk a little bit about what goes into the stories that we publish. You know, the story behind the story, if we want to be trite about it.
So meta.
I will avoid using that phrase
don't
in
ever
future
say
episodes because it hurts me on the inside. So, but you were, it did not go up yet at the time that we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Thursday morning.
I just turned it in, yeah.
Yeah, so we still have to edit it
and
all of that stuff. All the fun things that go in behind the scenes, you know, the formatting, the editing. But you checked out this service called Grover.
I did.
So tell us a little bit about that. Like, what is it? And tell us your thoughts.
So Grover is basically like a rental service for all the devices you can think about. For example, this MacBook over here is something that I took out to test the service with. And I have it for a month. The rental price for it is like $109 for the month. But then the street or the retail price is at least $800, $900. So that's a good deal to me because first of all, Grover like sponsored the 1 month trial so that we could test it out. So I didn't have to spend money to have this, but I'm probably going to keep renting this little thing because it's cool. And there's a lot of devices you can rent. You can try a fitness tracker, the Apple Watch, or a smartphone, or even drones and camera stuff. So I think it's a really nice idea that has existed before. There's Rent-A-Centers around, and there's Lumoid, another service, but Lumoid doesn't have the extensive library that Grover does, and Rent-A-Centers are just money sucks, so don't do it. 30% of what you pay for each month's rental through Grover goes towards your eventual purchase of the device if you choose to, so that's pretty neat. And Siri is just listening in on everything.
So one of the things that I think people probably, maybe they do realize, but maybe don't realize, is that we get like an inordinate amount of pitches from PR people, from companies and stuff. Our inboxes are just slammed. And I'm pretty sure you said that Grover was not one of those things that immediately jumped out to you.
No. It was like, I looked at it, I was like, I've heard of this before. Skip. Like, every day you have to make, like, decisions like this. So I'm just like, nah, I'm not going to pay attention to it. But, like, the PR person was obviously persistent and was like, hey, I really think you would be interested. And I was like, okay, I'll float it by Dana and Terrence because that's what I do. I'm responsible. And so Dana was like, hey, this is actually kind of cool. This is like Rent the Runway. She came over to my desk. She was like, this is like Rent the Runway for gadgets.
And we should clarify, we're talking about managing editor Dana Wollman.
Dana Wollman, yes. And she was like, this is for people like V, Velasco, who will just throw all their money at all the gadgets and buy stuff nonstop. But this is a more like budget-friendly way of doing it. So she's like, let's try it out.
Budget-friendly up to a point, though, so you got to be careful. So actually, when you tried it, how did you narrow down? I looked at the site quickly today and just saw like they've got consoles, they've got cameras, tablets. They've got a lot of stuff there. Yeah. How did you manage to like narrow it down? Like, oh, these are the things I actually want to like spend some money on and try.
Yeah, a huge part of the story that I wrote was about how difficult it was eventually to narrow it down, because I was like, okay, first of all, let's go hit the categories I know I was going to want something from. So I went to cameras because I'm working on a production on the side. I need camera equipment. And then I was like, you know what? I've been thinking about this MacBook and getting it for a while to get a feel for it. So this is a good way to try it out. And then I just went nuts. I just went in like freaking looked at NetAtmos weather station. I was like, I don't have a yard, but I'll try it. I was like, this key tracker thing is only $3 a month. I will get it. But then, you know, like a key tracker could like you can buy one for like $20.
Yes.
So that did not make sense. So I eventually like had to, you know, and the worst thing was they were like, you can check out basically whatever you want. And I was like, I'll get everything. Yeah. Thank you.
Just add everything to your cart and then call it down from there.
$1,000 worth of things. But I was like, nah, I gotta narrow it down to four. So I was like, MacBook, camera, I got a pair of Parazeek headphones, and that's because I just needed one. And then I got a Ring Flash, so I was very practical, I think.
Yeah, cool. This sounds like a recipe for disaster, though. So, like, what are the restrictions for this whole thing? Especially fitness trackers, right? I don't...
Yeah, it sounds...
A fitness tracker.
Oh, yeah. I don't want somebody else's sweat.
Right.
Ugh.
So I was surprised when the stuff came to me that it was so pristine. It came in, like, a brand new condition.
Oh, sure.
But sure, like you said, because first of all, as reviewers, I'm always like suspicious. They're like, you gave me a special experience. Mm-hmm. You gave me this nicer version of it. But it's also because Grover's only in its first month in the U.S., so all their inventory is still new. So if you want like a new non-gross fitness tracker, do it like now.
Right.
And then afterwards, like...
Sorry, everybody else.
But they do, like, refurbish everything, they say, and they repackage and wipe all the devices clean. One of the things I was weirded out the most about was that I'm not going to use any credit card information on this MacBook, because if I give it back, who knows who's going to get it next, and, like, some kind of hacker guy is going to, or girl, is going to be like, yeah, I'm going to go into your hard drive. Or porn.
just to clarify, you're not using this computer for porn.
Not using it for porn.
Are you more concerned about them finding your porn or finding your credit card numbers?
I think my... You know what? Check out both. You know what?
Okay.
My porn library is great, as it's my credit card is empty, so it's fine. Yeah. But
they should have like a button, like once you send it back, like self-destruct. Like
they
just
should.
Low level
so
wipe
I asked
everything.
I asked the CEO, and I was like, you know, what kind of reset do you do? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we just go through the, you know, factory reset options in the computer. I was like, I could do that myself.
No.
They were like, we're not doing any CIA level stuff.
You gotta do, and they give the option to overwrite it 7 times on there, I think.
So. Really? Ooh. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so Mac, only 7 times?
Only 7.
Pretty good, I think.
That's not bad.
But if it
but
changes
still.
hands like 10 times, then
and you can't trust them that they'll do it. I, as a consumer, I'd feel better if like I hit this button,
right?
This thing happens.
Well, you're supposed to do it before you send it to them,
okay?
And then they'll do another check to make sure. But again, it's not
people
like
people definitely
top
will
level.
Send it back without doing that.
There are people that will do that. But another thing that I was really concerned about was, so I talked about this to our colleagues, and Mona was like, I want to try an Apple Watch, and she very astutely went and looked at the terms and conditions. And
who does that?
Mona. Apparently.
And she was like, hey, so it says I'm liable for all the damage. And I was like, no, they told me that they'll pay for 50% of any damage. So this was where it got really thorny for me. And I pointed it out to the PR people and Grover CEO. And I was like, this is weird. You're making people enter a legally binding document that says that they're going to be responsible for the full amount of the damage. Whereas you told me on our interview that you're going to cover 50% of it. And then in an email replied to my query saying, yeah, we're still going to waive 50% of it. And his reasoning for not putting it in the terms and conditions was that they didn't want to make it sound like they're providing insurance.
Yeah,
so
that could be a problem too. But even then, like, yeah, going running with a device that you could end up
paying for.
Smashing.
Right. I mean, you can do phones, right? And people break phones constantly.
Right.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody outside of this office with like a fully functional, clean, unshattered phone.
Yeah.
Right. So
even most of the people in this office have shattered phones.
Yeah. Exactly. At this point.
Mine is shattered. So anyway, I just that part was prickly for me, but of course if you go into it and understanding that you're going to be liable for the damages, it's something just to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess makes sense.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to rent something and smash and be like, oh, sorry.
Sorry, yeah. 50%.
That's not great either.
It's all your problem.
Yeah. Just break it in half.
Yeah. I mean, so it sounds like in general, though, you were pretty happy with your experience with it. But it is also a relatively new service. I'm sure not everything is super rosy. So I think this is a good opportunity for you to offer said startup some advice on how to improve their service. Just like straight talk to them.
Hey, fix your terms and conditions. Fix your website. It needs to like work better, look better. I need all my information up top, not scrolling down to realize, oh, this is a flash. Like a picture is not enough at the top. But another thing that was really cool was that when I talked to the CEO, he mentioned that they're going to add unlimited pricing. So basically you could pay, say, $100 a month, and you could check out any 3 gadgets you want.
That sounds a lot more compelling to me.
I really would do that. Like, if that were the case, I'd be like, yes, I will pay $100 a month every month for the rest of my life just to get any 3 gadgets all the time. I don't know.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of my life, I would. And then, I mean, that $100, I don't know if that 30% of that will go into the purchase of the device eventually.
Right. This isn't launched yet, right? They're
this hasn't launched, but he said, like, around Christmas, they might have something like that available. So that, to me, because the company keeps touting itself as, we're like the Spotify of gadgets. I'm like, I don't get it.
I just completely lost.
Pro tip, better tagline.
I did not get it. And I think Dana's idea of it, rent the runway for gadgets, makes a lot more sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's only in New York City right now, though, right?
Yes, it's only in New York. It'll come to other cities soon, though. Hopefully.
So, yeah. I guess be on the lookout for that. That piece should hopefully be up by the time the podcast goes
out. Oh, yeah, it should be.
Provided that me and Dana do our jobs properly. If it's not up, it's our fault.
Fingers crossed.
It's all Terrence, really.
So I want to move on now to our big topic of the week and do our group chat, our panel discussion.
We need a new name for that.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm not bothering to change the name right now.
These things are in flux.
Who knows? Who cares? I want to dig in a little bit on one particular story, and I'm sure it's one that everybody is super excited to talk about, and that's Snapchat.
Yay.
For those who maybe missed this, Snapchat released a filter lens or whatever it's called, a selfie lens. I think that's the proper terminology.
Whatever.
Or a selfie filter, who cares? that is essentially yellow face. If you've seen Breakfast at Tiffany's and you are familiar with Mickey Rooney, Rooney's character, it basically does that to your face.
Yep.
It is crazy offensive, and this is not the first time that Snapchat has gotten in trouble for releasing what I think is a pretty blatantly racist filter.
For sure, yeah.
I'll just start with you, Devendra, because you're there and I'm looking
at
you.
Okay, yeah.
Is there any world in which any of this is okay?
No, I don't think so. And the sad thing is, like, after the Bob Marley filter, that was stupid, incredibly stupid, and we gave them a lot of crap for that. I cannot believe that this is still happening again. Like, clearly Snapchat hasn't learned from the mistakes it's made. And I wonder if this speaks to the diversity of the people on staff, too. Like, anybody who looks at this and is not a white person may be like, let's not do this. Let's not go down this road. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like I need to step in here as the only outwardly a yellow person on this panel.
But un-American.
Not American.
So you don't know our tropes of racism yet. You'll learn. Don't worry.
As we discovered in the lead up to the episode, you have not seen
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
She didn't recognize the trope either.
Right. Looking at the pictures that were provided, I wanted to try this filter myself, but it was taken down already, obviously. But looking at the pictures, I was like, I wouldn't have caught on immediately that this was so-called yellow face. And I didn't know if maybe, like you said, someone on Snapchat staff was, you know, or everyone was just as dumb as me.
Their explanation was that they were going for anime style. Which
it
is
does
also
look
stupid.
Very anime style, except for the whole Bugs Bunny thing.
The buck teeth thing is not anime style. And I mean, I would argue that nothing about it is anime style. I mean, I'm not the hugest, like, addict of anime, but I'm pretty sure most of it's like big eyes. It's very big hair. Yeah.
Spiky hair.
Yeah. It's South Park has done great anime tropes, like making fun of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's South Park. South Park does this better than Snapchat. A big tech company. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, South Park's been doing it for like, 20 years?
But
yeah. Yeah. They're good at it. It's a crazy thing. The Bob Marley one was more interesting because I think Bob Marley as a state sanctioned it. So, yeah. Like, I'm wondering who made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately it was pretty obvious it was not smart and looked horrible.
Yeah, and that one did not get pulled, I don't think, right? Oh, they left that up?
I'm not sure.
I think it was, yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing the Bob Marley one. I wasn't sure if it's one of those, because, okay, so.
Oh, I can pull it up for you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
We'll embed a link to the post at the very least in the description of the podcast. If we can't show a photo of this, but yeah, I mean, this is
the definition of blackface. That sure.
There are two photos of staff members with the Bob Marley filter applied. Oh. One of those is a white person.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay, so that's no. They're both not white people in that picture that you're showing me, Terrence. But what I thought was it was just that thing—the wig, the frame around the face, not like an actual color.
If it was
skin tone,
just some dreads.
Yeah,
like,
if it was just some dreads. I mean,
Adrian Brody on SNL, right?
Yeah, like that's even that I think is questionable.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's not highly offensive. It's just like
don't do this.
Dumb,
yeah.
But like full on blackface, which is what that was.
Yeah.
I mean,
Again. Sorry. Then they do it again. That's the most insane thing. How could someone have possibly thought that was a good idea after all the bad press they got just like 4 months ago?
Yeah.
I think they were like, you know, this isn't actually changing the skin tone. We're just changing the look of their eyes and their teeth. We could go because Snapchat has done this in their other filters. They have so many filters that do things like that, but no one's mad at the mermaid filter. No one's mad at the gypsy queen.
They do exaggerate a lot of facial features.
They do that a lot.
But it's important. Like, I think the idea of representation and how you handle this stuff is important because we're at a point where these silly little apps can transform your face, and that's actually dangerous territory for a lot of people, especially if you're unaware of all the cultural conflict going in. Like, Sherilyn, do you have a better sense of why people are outraged now? Because
I kind of pointed
out what you look at the history of World War II cartoons in America. Yeah. I remember studying Japanese culture and stuff in school. I'm old. I'm so old. Also, I've seen the Olympics several times.
Oh my God.
You baby. But yeah, Popeye, Mickey Mouse, Dr. Seuss. So many cultural icons doing like strictly racist things against Japan and in support of America during World War II. And a lot of that yellowface was a big part of it, that whole caricature.
I mean, for people with that kind of a history, I see how it's very offensive.
And let's make clear, like, Snapchat is an American company.
Yes.
This is not like some company led by a bunch of people like from a different country or a different continent who are experiencing a different culture. These people should be aware of this history, and even of just their own history. As we said before, this happened however many months ago now, at least
four.
Once.
Yeah.
Four.
And this is...
And racism hasn't been their only problem, too. They've also done filters where they've basically just made, you know, a teenage look where it's braces and glasses,
right,
and it's just
right.
like the ugly duckling look. And I'm just like, well, no, that to me was offensive because as a kid, I grew up looking that way.
Yeah,
lots of kids.
Well, that was one of the memes that was making the rounds when they put that filter up, was people like, I'm glad that I don't look like this, and put the picture of themselves normally next to the picture of themselves with the Snapchat filter, and it literally didn't look any different.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think that the people at Snapchat, the CEO, the engineers, or anything, are racist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't think that anybody's necessarily suggesting that, right? Or is anybody going to suggest that?
I mean, whenever you have this discussion, you'd be like, well, we're not saying they're racist, but the idea that these things happen over and over again, it's about the systemic racism, right? The stuff that's there that they don't recognize. Maybe somebody did object to this, and nobody listened to them. And if that's
a cultural problem,
that's a bigger problem. That is institutional racism right there.
Well, and there's also been a lot of talk about the lack of diversity at Snapchat. Yep. They haven't released numbers despite people asking them for it. I believe their CEO has been rather cagey about those numbers in a number of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw a screenshot. And, you know, obviously you see their board and it's just white men down the line.
Mm-hmm.
There may be other people in the company who are more diverse that they're not representing there. But in any event, it looks like from the outside that they are not you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the ways I've always heard Snapchat described is that it's basically a company run by a bunch of like frat dudes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the CEO has said horrible things in the past, and you know, I try not to write them off entirely because of this. You see them grow up a little bit. I just don't think they realize like how powerful of a platform they have right now. There's so many people using it. I don't know why they feel the need to like focus on these ridiculous filters to the extent that they do. I think they should maybe like fix the UI and not be racist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the UI is a different beast.
I
guess there's really not much to say beyond what we've already said. I mean,
is this changing how you guys view or use Snapchat?
I mean, I don't use Snapchat really. I have an account.
Got to save your name.
Yeah, literally that's what I do is I sign up for every new service and claim my name. But I was never a big fan of it. I never really used it that much. That being said, I will never use it again. Mm-hmm. This was like kind of it for me. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm walking away. This is crazy.
I'm not a big fan of the service. When it was all ephemeral, it was completely pointless. I think Snapchat stories made it a little more interesting. But even now, like I can get a lot of that on Instagram. Hey. That's great.
Hey, look at that.
We got an alternative now.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to keep using Snapchat. I know. I shouldn't. I know. Y'all hate me.
No,
but
there's an age divide happening, too. Like
That is it.
Us olds are not.
I'm also not that much younger than you guys.
I
but
don't
okay.
know.
Talk about that later.
You've never seen the Olympics before, so right. I don't know how old you are.
In terms of pure years, maybe not. But me and Devendra, at the very least, are old souls. And I think we can loop Nathan on that one, too.
Sure.
We're at our hearts really probably about a decade older than we are physically.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, but I'm in the same boat as those guys. I've not used it a ton. Mm-hmm. I've played around with it a little bit. I'll occasionally see stuff that I think is interesting. I think the stories was a really good idea. There's some value there. But I have been the best of passive user, and I don't think I will be using it extensively ever, really.
All right, so I think that about wraps it up.
It does.
Guys, thank you so much for joining me. This was, I want to say fun.
Fun is
the word you use to describe.
I like yelling at tech companies. Yeah, great.
That actually is a lot of fun. I am going to go. Mm-hmm.
That could be the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
I like yelling at tech
companies.
Be better.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good segment.
Mm-hmm. That's a good segment.
Devendra, where can our loyal listeners and viewers find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Devendra, and I have a personal website that I'm rebuilding at devendra.org. Yeah.
Ooh.
Nice.
Sherlyn?
On Twitter, I am at Sherlyn Lowe. Try to spell that. And I'm also rebuilding my personal website, Sherlyn.org, too.
Personal website?
Wait, seriously?
Great.
It is, yeah.
That's awesome. I don't have a personal website because I'm too lazy to make one. But I'm on Twitter at Nate Ingram. Look it up. It's a real train wreck.
If you dare.
And you can find me on Twitter at Terrence O'Brien. That's lots of E's, no A's. Or you can hit up the official Engadget Twitter. That's at Engadget. Or email us at podcasts@Engadget. We want your feedback. We want your suggestions, your complaints, whatever it is. The only way this show is going to get better is if we do what you want, and we won't know what you want unless you tell us. So thanks for joining us, and don't miss next week's episode. But before we go, I just want to leave you with the comment of the week, which comes from Polybius Champion, until you need to take a canoe somewhere.
Words to live by.
Cheers.
Thinking emoji.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.